Hello and welcome to Gaming Guru, sponsored by Augustine Casino, the podcast that gives you an insider's perspective as we look behind the scenes in the world of casinos and gaming. My name is Wilson, I'm your host, and in this episode, we're talking about playing the game, how to have the most fun on the casino floor, and more importantly, some tips on how you can increase your chances of winning and understand the games better. And to help us accomplish that, well, we need an expert in... we've got one right here. Jeff Bauer, general manager of Augustine Casino. And Jeff, we had so much fun in the first couple of episodes of the show. I cannot wait to find out what we learned in this one. So thanks so much for coming back.
Oh, it's great to be here. And it's been real fun to talk about kind of behind the curtain in the gaming world. You know, I've been doing this so long that stuff that's old hat to me, I know, is still kind of a mystery to some people. So it's fun to talk about.
Myself included. obviously, there are many ways to play at the casino and win, for that matter.
Sure.
But let's start with one of the most popular, and slots. And more specifically, how good my chances are of winning when I push that button. how is a slot machine or a poker machine's payback determined? And when we hear something like 90 or 94, 98% payback, what does that really mean for me when I sit down and pull that lever? I'm being old school by saying pull that lever.
Yeah, the levers are mostly gone today, but there's still some out there. You know, I think a lot of people get confused when they see or hear 98% payback, 95% payback, and assume that if you walk into a casino with $100, you're only going to lose two if it's 98%. And that's not the percentage we're talking about when we say that. So, but I think the best way to kind of explain it is to give an example, and I'll keep it as simple as I can because the math isn't always everybody's favorite part of this subject. But the payback percentage is determined by the actual win or loss divided by coin in. And coin in is just a term for every single button push times the amount of that push. So if you have a $3 per spin button push and you push it 100 times, that's $300 coin in. It doesn't mean you actually put $300 in the machine. You may have actually put $5 in the machine and you just kept hitting cherries or, you know, sevens or lions and you got money back that you kept playing and kept playing. Gotcha. And so when you walked away, you lost your $5, but the casino's math says you spent $300 in coin in, or you put $300 in coin in through the machine. So here's a simple payback scenario on a 95% payback. Mm-hmm. Somebody walks up to a machine with, doesn't matter how much, but we'll say $20. And on the very first spin, they hit a $15,000 jackpot, right? The next 100 players that come in all lose $160 each.
Okay.
So now you're at $16,000 in coin in, but you've paid back $15,000. That's 95% payback.
So does that mean if somebody wins that I shouldn't walk up to that machine and play it next?
It does not mean that because all of the random number generators that are now inside these machines, they're essentially all computer chips, for lack of a better term, and they're random number generators, and you could have a $15,000 jackpot hit and 10 minutes later have a $10,000 jackpot hit. Or 10 months later have a $10,000 jackpot hit. It's random. But in this scenario, the first person hits the jackpot on the first spin, and then the next 100 players spin $3 per spin, so around 55 spins each. They lose their $160. Nobody wins a dime. 100 people have just lost on a 95% payback machine, and it paid 95% because you have to divide the $15,000 by approximately. So it's actually the real number is 15,789 coin in, and that is 95%. That scenario is probably something people never think about because coin in isn't really a thought. People are pushing the button over and over and over, and you win some, you lose some, you win some, you lose some, and maybe you sit there for 20 minutes on your $20. You didn't walk in with $356, but you just put $356 through the machine because of wins and losses. So that's one way to look at it. Another way, to think of it this way. A person brings in $100 to the casino to play a slot machine, and while they're playing, they hit four $500 wins, which totals $2,000, but they don't leave. And this is one of the problems that a lot of people have is they're up, they think they're lucky, they keep going. And I say, I'm conservative now as a player. I just won $2,000 on four hits. I'm walking. And maybe I'm up, you know, $1,900, okay? But if you don't walk, and I say a lot of people don't walk, they feel lucky. I think my wife falls in that category, likes to keep playing. I'm going to win more. And eventually loses back all $2,000. But they only brought in $100. So their coin in totaled $2,000. $100 of their own money is now gone. So to the player, it feels like you lost 100% of your money. But you have to actually do the math on the $100 divided by the $2,000. And if you're playing $3 a spin, which I like to use that, it's a dollar game, it's three coins, it's going to be about 10 to 12 spins per minute. So they played for around an hour on that $100 and pumped $2,000 through the machine. The payback percentage is 95%. So when you see that, please know that doesn't mean you won't lose more than $5 on your $100. You're actually looking at the bigger picture, which is coin in. If I was in a room right now full of students, I would say, anybody have any questions? And half the room would raise their hands.
Exactly.
But what if? It's fun to teach casino math to people, and I've taught it at a few universities, like Denver University. I used to teach a class there once a semester on basically casino math, and then we would always get mired in the crazy stories of the casino world. But the math part is always interesting to me because I think people think we're lying to them when we say 95% payback, when in fact, no, it's perfectly measurable and perfectly provable, and this is how it works.
I think the two takeaways there, A, stop in your head, right. And B, there's no such thing as a lucky machine.
Right. Well, there could be. I mean, superstition's everything, too, in the gaming world. But some people will walk by a machine and see a lady or a man playing it for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and keep checking on her and see she didn't really hit anything. Mm-hmm. She gets up, she's done. That machine hasn't hit, and she's done hundreds of spins. Some people's theory is that machine is due. It's closer to the jackpot than it was when she sat down, so now I'm going to take my shot. And there are people that actually walk the casino floor looking for that opportunity.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that's another reason why some people have a tough time getting up, because, like, you don't want to walk away and then have someone else break your heart by taking your jackpot,
yep, sure,
right?
Exactly. Let's move on to table games.
Sure.
Because I've been told that blackjack are the best odds for a player.
Right.
Is that really true? Because I've heard from other people that craps is the best you know, odds for a player.
They're both true. So depending on how you play and what you play and where you play, either one of those statements could be true. In general, the most favorable odds for a player is to play single deck, 3-2 payoff for blackjack, blackjack. So if you can find that game, which is extremely rare these days, I mean, anywhere on the strip, they're paying 6-5 for a blackjack. So in other words, if you get dealt a 10 and a face card and an ace or a 10 and an ace, you would get paid 6-5 for that. The original payoffs on that was 3-2. But when they have single deck games, they lower it to 6-5. And now a lot of places are even lowering the shoe games, which 6-deck, 8-deck shoes to 6-5. And that increases the house advantage a little bit. Still doesn't make it, I guess, it still doesn't make it as unfavorable as, say, a slot machine payout. So, however, when you think about table games, a lot of people might confuse house advantage of 1% or less to the actual hold percentage, which is how much the house keeps on the money that is dropped in blackjack. So table games calculates, it's not really considered payback percentage in table games. The language is a little different, but a household percentage, which is how much do you keep out of every dollar in drop, is different than how much does the house keep out of every dollar of coin in. So slots is factored on coin in, whereas table games are factored on drop, which is the amount. So if you walk up to a table game and you buy in for $300, that money gets dropped into the box, and maybe you've seen that where they have this interesting looking, I don't even know what you call it. I forget what you call it.
It looks like a plunger.
Yeah, it's like a little plunger thing that goes into a box, and that's where your money's kept. Yeah. I don't know why I can't think of the word for that, but it doesn't really matter because you just saw your money disappear. Now, you'll get that in chips, right? So you're going to get $300 in chips, the same value of the $300 in cash, and then you start playing. That $300 in drop essentially only gets counted once, whereas on a slot machine, you know, I talked about the coin in, you
sure
win a little and you keep going. We don't look at blackjack that way because it's a little harder to track. It's not perfect science. We can see how much you've won or lost, but we don't really keep track of every single bet. It's like, oh, he won 15, so now he's, you know, got 30. No, it doesn't work like that. So on table games, hold percentage is calculated on the win or loss divided by drop. And I'll give you an example of how that's calculated. The same person walks in with a $300, puts it on the table to buy in, gets his chips, and plays for an hour. $25 a hand for an hour. At the end of that hour, out of his $300, he's lost 75. He's played 35 hands, which is approximately one every 2 minutes because it's a full table. The hold percentage for the house is calculated at $75, his loss, divided by $300, which is the drop that went into that box with the weird plunger. You end up with is 25%. So yeah, that's a table game's hold percentage. But if you applied the same logic as slots, which you don't, but just for comparison's sake, because I don't think people really understand that if a slot machine holds 5% and a table holds 25%, well, that means the slot machine's a better bet. No, it is not. It's the opposite of a better bet. It's a worse bet. Think about the 35 hands I told you they played. For $25 a hand, they played 35 hands. That would be the equivalent of $875 coin in.
Sure.
So now you divide 75 by 875, which for table games, lack of a better term, we'll call it coin in. Now you're at 8.5%, which is a slot hold. You can see how they're very different. A 25% hold on table games is the same as an 8.5% hold on slots.
Interesting.
And on table games, one of the things you have in your favor that you don't necessarily have on slots is your skill. Your ability to maybe understand what cards might come next, the probability of better cards being left in the deck if you've seen what comes out on the table. They call that card counting. In some places, it's not illegal, but some states allow casinos to frown on that and say, we don't want to take your money, your bet, because you count cards. Some states won't even allow that. I think, for example, Indiana, if a card counter comes in, that's tough cookies for the casino. You have to let them play.
And I've always thought about that when I played a single deck blackjack. If you see a couple of aces on the table in single deck, you know that there aren't that many left, where if you see them when there's, you know, eight decks involved, who knows, maybe the next two or three cards could be that ace or that 10 that you're looking for.
Exactly. So if you're paying attention to all the cards on the table, you can increase your likelihood that you're going to do better than just the person who's not paying attention at all and just counting the cards that are in front of them.
Right.
You have to look at everything that comes out of that deck and go, oh my gosh, I've only seen low value cards for the last 20 cards. Okay, face cards are on their way. And that's when a card counter will increase their bet from 5 to 100 or whatever and take a shot. And that's how they gain that advantage. On craps, although, you know, in California where we're located, craps isn't the same as traditional craps. We'll talk about traditional craps. So in Nevada or many other states that have dice games, craps can be very favorable depending on how you play it. There's one part of the craps game where you bet on the pass line and you back it up with what they call odds. Mm-hmm. And some houses will have 5 times odds, 10 times odds, meaning if you bet $10 on the pass line, you could put 10 times odds, you could put $100 behind it. And $100 pays true odds. So the house pays true odds on those odds, so there's no house advantage on that bet. And if you're really good and patient, it's a grind way to play craps, but it is also the most favorable advantage you can get on a casino, which I call it an advantage, but you're actually still at a disadvantage because your pass line's paid even money and you're at a deficit there. But 10 times that behind there, backing it up with odds, you're getting true odds. And if you get on a roll, you can make a lot of money, but you also may be playing there all day on $500. Anybody that bets the field is betting probably the worst odds on a craps table, and the house loves that player because if we hit a 12, for example, you get paid 3-1 or even 2-1 in some casinos where the true odds are more like 36-1. So you know, the advantage is pretty strong on those. So the craps game overall will hold around 20%, but depending on how you bet, the game you play may have a much lower hold percentage for the house.
Interesting. So we've talked about percentages on slots. We've talked about percentages on tables. Let's go back to slots and talk about the term loose, because we always see ads saying, oh, we've got the loosest slots, you know, here, we've got the loosest slots in the area. What exactly does that mean? Does that differ from the percentage payout?
No. And actually, that's exactly what they're talking about. It's a percentage payout. And if someone's being truthful in their advertising and they say they have the loosest slots, you kind of have to be able to back that up. And you either have to know what everybody else's payouts are and to make that kind of a claim, or you have to know what you're paying out more than anybody on the same dollar. So it's not always provable, but in some states, all of the different casinos actually have to report their wins, losses, coin in, revenue, and hold percentage. Mm-hmm. And I always go back to Indiana because that's one of the states I've worked in the past that everything's reported. You see the hold percentage for every casino in the state. You see exactly how much they paid out in pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters. It's kind of a interesting state to work in because everything's transparent. Most states don't operate that way. Hmm. But when they say they have the loosest slots, they're talking about the payback percentage being lower than their competitors. And one of the ways that you can achieve that as a casino operator is if you have a higher number of video poker games on your floor, because video poker has a higher payback percentage than real slots, R-E-E-L, real slots, video slots.
Why is that,
though? Well, I think video poker has been around a long, long time, and people are very savvy. And one of the things about video poker is you can actually determine the hold percentage if you read the pay table. So everyone's always talking about a 9-6 game or an 8-5 game. What that means is the game pays 9-1 on a full house and 6-1 on a flush. So if you see on the pay tables are right there on the video poker game. You can mm-hmm. always look at pay tables. If you see full house 9-1, flush 6-1, that's a 9-6 game. Say on Jacks or Better or Double-Double Bonus Poker, which are two of the most popular games, and those are going to have very high payback percentages. For example, on a Jacks or Better game, if you're playing perfect strategy, which is the other kind of important element in getting this payback, the payback percentage on a 9-6 Jacks or Better game is 99.54%.
Wow.
So imagine that. You can play a long time on your money if your payback percentage is 99.54%. But also keep in mind, based on the math we talked about earlier, the longer you play, that 99.54% chips away at your money, and over time, you also can lose all of it if you play a long time. But instead of 4 hours, you might be able to play for 10 hours on the same dollar. So, but what happens with a lot of those games on the floor, then that lowers your overall floor hold percentage or increases your payback percentage, and so you can then advertise loosest slots. Even though your slots might actually be not so loose, but if you have the video poker lowering the class average, so to speak, you have a higher payback percentage.
That's interesting. Yeah. Now, when you working at Augustine, mm-hmm. if you hear a competitor say, "Oh, we've got the loosest slots," is there a way to verify that here? I mean, would you make a big deal about it, or you think, "Oh, well, you know, I can't see their numbers, so they can say what they want marketing wise, and I can say what I want marketing wise."
It's tough to verify. Mm. There's nothing reported in Indian gaming that would indicate what your hold percentage is. Though, however, if you are in the business a long, long time and you understand your competition, you've played their games, you've talked to people, you kind of get a sense for how the games are set. You know, based on the percentage of video poker on anyone's floor also, the math isn't that complicated. You could prove it. And if you were forced to prove it, I don't know, in a court of law, then you'd have to bring the numbers and, you could prove it. But in general, the truth is, no, you can't. No one could actually say, well, I have the loosest, you don't, and there's any way to go in and verify it. So, that's true in a lot of places where there's really no verification. The states that do put the numbers out, you can bet that the guy with the casino with the highest payback percentage is marketing that. Because it's verifiable, as shown in the Indiana Gaming Commission report dated March 31st, 1999. So,
Of course, I would imagine that if somebody was advertising, hey, I've got the loosest slots in town, and they really didn't, they had very tightly set machines, and eventually then the users would vote with their feet and go someplace else because they're simply not winning at all.
Yeah. And that is true, and that is what happens. And also sometimes when someone's making an outlandish claim, it gets challenged. Like anything, it's false advertising. You can't lie in advertising in this country legally. So at some point it just takes a challenge to make them cease and desist.
Yep. If you're playing slots and you know what your percentages are there, and table games, you know what your percentages are there, then does it make sense to bet on sports, or is that your worst percentage of all?
No. So sports betting is also interesting in the sense that there's a level of skill involved. Mm-hmm. You know, knowledge comes into play. The playing field gets leveled by the odds and the point spreads and things like that, and it makes it a little trickier. But there's also a little bit of volatility in those things. Point spreads can move. Odds, money lines can move on a game to a point where you could gain an advantage as a patient bettor if you want to make it your full-time job. Again, it becomes a grind. It's not as easy as just darting in and taking advantage. Like, you literally have to do your homework and go and watch the lines move and jump in early and predict. It's kind of like the stock market. If I buy low and sell high, you can do the same thing with sports, but it's really hard and a lot of work for a very little payback. It's the way sports betting, again, I like to talk about hold percentage on this podcast. So the way sports betting hold percentage is determined is probably not how people, it kind of is a mystery to people. So it's not probably how people think. It is determined much the same way as anything else. It's the win-loss divided by the total amount bet or drop, just like a table game, right? Mm-hmm. But I think people assume, let's take NFL because that's the most prevalent bet out there. It's the most common and people understand it. There's a point spread and you usually bet $11 to win 10. So the odds are 10 to 11. And so I always hear people say this, oh, well, there's a 10% hold in sports betting because there's a 10% VIG, and that's not true at all. The math is works more like this, and I'm going to give you an example. The Chargers are playing the 49ers. The Chargers are favored by 3 points, so it will read Chargers minus 3 versus the Niners, right? So you go up and say, I want the Chargers. I'm going to lay the 3 points, which means I believe the Chargers will win by more than 3 points. Mm-hmm. They have to beat the spread. They can't – tying the spread is a push. Everybody gets their money back. The hold is zero. But if the Chargers win – by more than 3, and I've bet $1,100 to win $100, I will collect, if they win, and we'll say they did, I will go and collect $2,100. I win my bet back, $1,100, plus the $1,000 in profit, right? Mm-hmm. But the people that bet the 49ers, the guy that bet the 49ers for $1,100, he lost $1,100. So the total bet is $2,200.
Right.
The total payout is $2,100. So it's $100 divided by $2,200 in total wager is the house hold percentage, 4.5%. Hmm. So it's not 10%. It's 4.5%. And people think that somehow it sounds like, oh, well, I bet $1,100 to win $100, then the hold is 10%. You have to do all the math, not just your math. So in general, a sports book, because baseball is even lower hold percentage, NFL's standard around between 4 and 6% with all the prop bets, you know, parlay cards and crazy bets, you get a little bit more of a house advantage if you're booking NFL with all those different bets. And you might hold 6% on average on NFL. But baseball, it could lower down to 1%.
Wow.
1.5%. It's easier to be an expert in baseball, and I think a lot of people, there's different theories, but a lot of people bet pitchers, not teams. So if you have an ace pitcher who almost never gives up any runs, and you just bet that guy every time he comes out, and he wins 20 games and loses 5, you're going to make money, right? So if you can be that disciplined and not try to guess anything else and just go, I'm sticking with this Cy Young winner all year because he wins almost every time out, you'll make money. At a certain point, you'll start paying a lot more to win less. In other words, that pitcher may start out, and the money line bets are listed as a minus dollar amount or a plus dollar amount. That pitcher might start the season. He's a good pitcher, but he hasn't really proven himself yet, and he's minus 120, which means you're going to have to bet $120 to win 100, right? Mm-hmm. By the end of the season, if he's winning all his games, he's playing a bad team and he's pitching, he's going to be minus $3. You're going to have to put $300 up to win 100. So it gets really interesting. But if you're disciplined and you stick with that pitcher all year and he is good for you, no matter what, it's still a winning proposition. So, yeah. But those long odds scare people away. And they go, oh, well, how much for the other guy? Oh, he's plus 260. So if I bet 100, I win 260 on the bad pitcher, and on the good pitcher, I have to bet 300 to win 100. Give me the bad pitcher. And that's how boxing works all the time, too. Back in my day, we were booking Mike Tyson fights. Mike Tyson would be $1,100 to win 100,
bet.
Right? And then everyone would go, well, give me the other guy. But Mike Tyson won 35 fights in a row by knockout, right? Mm-hmm. And so every single time he fought, we made a lot of money because nobody wanted to bet 1,100 to win 100. But that was the only way you could win. So if you bet the other guy, you lost every time until along came Buster Douglas, and he was a 32-1 underdog. You had to, wow, you had to come in to bet, to win $300, you had to bet essentially $10,000 on Tyson. So some so that's when people – that's what's funny about that is I just remember people coming in saying, give me Tyson. I don't care how much. It's easier than bank – it's better than bank interest, right? He's a sure thing. And mm-hmm. when he gets in the ring against Buster Douglas, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars on Mike Tyson to win very, very little. But people are looking at it as bank interest now and going, yeah, this is easy money. And he gets knocked out in the 10th round, and the wow. house makes all that money. So, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
So let's wrap up by talking about ways to get value on the casino floor. I'm coming in for an afternoon. I understand my percentages. I know what games I want to play. But what else can I do to either make the experience more fun or to maximize my chance of winning something?
Okay, so one of the things that you absolutely must do, if you understand all of the things we just talked about, the math on your game, is to add a little bit more on your payback column. Absolutely get a casino player's card wherever you're playing and track all your play, whether it's on slots, tables, sports betting, poker, whatever, because the casino will reinvest in you. Mm. Like any loyalty card, any company, airlines, hotels, all do it. Casinos do it in a very generous way sometimes. Sometimes we'll reinvest in our customers up to 25-30%. If you do the math on that, you can add a point to 2 points of payback to your overall experience if you take advantage of everything the casino has to offer. Free slot play for the points you earn on your card, free slot play in the mail. We mail out every month to customers. So if you're a $100 average player, you're going to get anywhere between $10 and $20 a week in free slot play, in addition to the points that you can convert, that you've earned, you can convert to cash, in addition to comps, complimentary meals, hotel stays, shows that you can earn for the play. You take all of that and add it up, and it'll take a 95% payback that you're playing, if you're a savvy player and you're playing on a 95% payback game, and take it all the way up to 96, 97%. Your money goes further. Mm-hmm. And if you're not taking advantage of that, you're leaving money on the table. Those are the kinds of things that I want to always emphasize. People think that if I play with a card, oh, I'm going to be, people are good, they're going to know, they're going to turn the machine off when they see my name, or they're, you know, I'm going to be less lucky. And that's all superstition. It is not true. And you are leaving money on the table. It's yeah. always free. And, yeah. and casinos are very generous marketers.
Wow. Well, Jeff, that's all we have time for on this episode of the show. But don't worry, we'll be back again with another episode taking you inside the world of casinos and gaming on The Gaming Guru, brought to you by Augustine Casino. And of course, if you want to find out more about Jeff and what they're doing over at Augustine, you can check them out at AugustineCasino.com. Thanks so much for being on the show, Jeff.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time on The Gaming Guru.